Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
It's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday took place 7 days before Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was on the way into Jerusalem, and the people began to throw in their clothes down on the road to make, you know, kind of like lay out a red carpet for him as he came into the city. And then people who didn't want to dirty their jackets, I guess, or didn't have anything, they were grabbing palm branches, and they were laying those down on the road as Jesus was coming in. Again, like I said, it was kind of like rolling out the red carpet, you know, as the king was coming into the city. And they were waving those palm branches in the air, and it was a big celebration. It was a big triumphant procession as Jesus came into the city. He was having this huge parade, and the cool thing about it is Jesus orchestrated the whole thing. He set the whole thing up. He went, told his disciples to get the donkey that he was going to be riding upon, and he planned this triumphant, victorious entry into Jerusalem as he came into the city. It wasn't the first time that he had come into the city. He had been there a lot every year. He went up to the temple to the, for the various different feasts, Jewish feasts and things. But this was special. This was a special day when Jesus came in and had this big parade for himself, celebrating his victory. His victory. What victory? His victory over death, hell, and the grave. He was celebrating his victory of coming, paying the price for our sins, defeating Satan, who the Bible refers to as the God of this world. Satan was the ruler over the whole world because mankind in Adam had sold out to Satan through sin and had given Satan the dominion over the earth. But Jesus came and he stripped Satan of that dominion and then said, after he rose from the dead, he said to his disciples, "Now all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Because he didn't always have that authority. He didn't have it. Satan had it. God had given it to man in the beginning. Man had sold out to the devil, gave that dominion to the devil. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to get us out from underneath the dominion of Satan. Get us out from underneath the power of the devil. And to set us free and to restore that dominion to us. Now you and I, in the name of Jesus, have all authority over all devils, all demons. You and I now can rule and reign in life. It is an incredible victory that Jesus accomplished for us. Worthy of a huge parade. Now, it's interesting, though, that the parade was taking place 7 days before he actually did it. He is celebrating this victory over death. He's celebrating his victory over sin, over evil. He's celebrating this great victory that he accomplished 7 days before he accomplished it. In other words, he didn't wait until after he rose from the dead to have this parade. Why is that? Well, it's interesting because seven has symbolic prophetic significance as well. When you look in the Word of God, seven is symbolic for completion. In other words, a finished work. It's also symbolic of faith. Because we know going back to Genesis that God, after he created the earth, he rested. He rested on what day? The seventh day. In fact, let's just go back there to Genesis chapter 1 and let's learn a little bit about faith today. In Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And he begins to go on talking about the land being formed. And here in verse 10 it says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So the beginning of verse 6, God said. And here again, verse 10, God saw. Back in verse 3, God said. Verse 4, God saw. Verse 11, then God said. And he begins to speak some more things. And then in verse 12, in the latter part, and God saw that it was good. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And then in verse 18, in the latter part, and God saw that it was good. Verse 20, then God said. And then in verse 21 in the latter part, and God saw. And then verse 24, and God said. And then in verse 25, and God saw. And then in verse 26, and then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. There it is. Everybody say dominion. Let them have dominion. What's that? That's absolute rule and authority. Absolute rule and authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created a male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. That means to conquer it, bring it into subjection. Again, have dominion. He repeats it. Have dominion, absolute rule and authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now we know that the Bible was originally written, it wasn't written in chapter and verses. That was added later to help us to be able to read and study the scriptures. And so I honestly believe that chapter 2, where chapter 2 starts, is in the wrong place. I believe chapter 2 should start after verse 3. Again, this is something that was added later, okay, by the translators. So let's just look at it. So verse chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. You can see how he's still finishing up what he's saying in chapter 1. And on the seventh day, now remember, we just did 6 days, right? Okay, see, we're still talking about these days. We weren't quite done yet. This still was the seventh day. So now he says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So it is done. It is finished. After 6 days, on the seventh day, it is completed. The project is done, right? It's finished. It's finished. And it says, God rested from all his work, rested from all his work which he had made. That's interesting there. Are people still being created and coming into the world? Or are people still being born again? They're still being born again, right? And the Bible says that he who is in Christ is a new creation. Creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So if you're a new creation, and there's still, how many people believe some more people are still going to probably be getting saved before this thing's wrapped up, before Jesus returns? So there's still some new creations to be had in the earth. So there's still people to be created. There's still people to be created or recreated in Christ Jesus. So there's still a creating work that is still going on. And yet God says here that in verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work. All his work of what? Creating. All his creative work. It says he rested from all of it. In fact, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Everybody say all the hosts. Notice that. All the hosts of them. Of what? Of those in heaven and earth. All the hosts of them were finished. It was all done. In other words, everybody that was going to be created was created. Everything, every creature that was ever to be created was already created. Everything that was to be born and made has already been born and made. And yet we know people are still being born. There's still creative things going on. God is obviously still working. And yet here it says he rested from all his work. From all the hosts, they were all the hosts in earth, every living thing, already finished, it's already done. And yet we look around and say, no, it's not. It's not done yet. Well, here's where chapter 2 should start. Verse 4 should be verse 1. It says, this is the history. Now we're starting something else. This is the history, or my margin says the genealogy, of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Now notice, chapter 1, he made male. He made female. He gave them dominion, right? He created, in fact, every man and every woman and every animal and all the hosts in heaven and earth were all finished. It's all done in chapter 1. Now in chapter 2, it starts off talking about the details of that chapter 1 plan. And now in chapter 2, it starts talking about the actual forming of man and then taking from his rib and creating the woman and then them having children and them having children and then them having children and children and children and children and it's still happening. It's still happening. And as we go through the Bible, we see it still, creation still going on. People are still being created. Yet chapter 1 seems to just say it's all done. Everything's summed up. God's resting. It's finished. Why? Because chapter 1 is God's faith proclamation. It's God's faith declaration. God is declaring the end from the beginning, which is what Isaiah the prophet says he does. He declares the end from the beginning. That's what God does, and that's what faith does. Faith speaks and calls those things that be not as though they were. God is basically here giving us, in chapter 1, a blueprint of his creation. He is speaking it, and when he's speaking it, he's seeing it. Because words paint pictures, don't they? And he is speaking it, and he is seeing it, but he's not seeing it in the physical yet. He is seeing it in the spiritual. He's seeing it by faith. He's seeing the chapter 1, he's seeing the whole creation by faith. Just like when we built this church building. The first thing we did before we built this building is we got ourselves an architect. And we got with some engineers and we drew up the blueprints of this building. And we drew it up exactly what its height, what its width would be, exactly where the doors would be located, the size of the doors, and then begin to put in there all the details, what type of doors, and all the different details that go into the construction of a building. They were all in the blueprints. And once we got the blueprints, then we needed to get them approved by the city and stamped. So they were approved and stamped. Once that happened, then we handed it out to various different contractors. You know, then you get your electrician, then you get your plumber, you get the concrete guy to come in to pour concrete, and all the different people involved in actually building the structure. But it first starts with a blueprint. And once you got the blueprint, you see exactly what it is you're going to one day actually have in the physical. Once you get those drawings and they're stamped, they've been approved, you got it, you know exactly what your building looks like. You could roll it out and say, this is what our church looks like. Hey, you want to come and see my church? Yeah. And you could unroll the blueprints. This is our church right here. And this is where the children's classrooms are going to be. And this is where this is going to be. And this is where this is. And you're going to walk down the hall here. And we got the whole thing all designed on paper. That's exactly how faith is. Faith gives us a blueprint of what it is we are believing God for. Faith gives us a blueprint of what we are believing God for. For a lot of people, they just want construction. Even more than that, they just want the end product. And they ain't got no blueprints. Even God had to have blueprints before he actually started construction. You got to have blueprints. How many people want God to do some creative things in your life? How many want God to do some new things in your life? How many want God to come through and cause things to come to pass for you? Things that you desire in your life. Well, you got to get a blueprint. How do you get a blueprint? You got to begin to speak forth what it is you want, and then see it with your heart. See it by faith. That's exactly what Genesis chapter 1 is. It's God saying it by faith, and then seeing it by faith. It's not the actual physical construction of the creation. And then, after the blueprint was done, after he had spoken what he believed he received when he spoke, what did he do? He rested and just relaxed, because he knew that he has what he says. While it was still without form and void, and darkness covered the deep, God's resting. And he says, I see light. I see light. I see people. I see man with dominion over the earth. I see people created in my image and my likeness, ruling and reigning with me in life. I see it. And yet the angels are like, where? Where is it, God? And God says, I see it. I got it. It's as good as done. So then when it started to actually unfold, as we see in chapter 2, and we begin to see it unfold, everything God already spoke in chapter 1, now we're seeing it all begin to unfold in chapter 2, all of a sudden there's a bump in the road. This devil gets in there. And he deceives man, created in the image and likeness of God, whom God had given dominion over the earth. He deceived man, and now man fell in the rebellion against God. And then God looked and saw and thought, what in the world?
What am I going to do now?
No. God was already in faith about his man. He said that his man, woman, is going to have dominion over the earth. They're going to rule and reign. He never said they're going to be slaves to sin. He said, I see them ruling and reigning. I see them ruling and reigning. That's what I see. And God believed in what he saw. And he rested even while things appeared to be going contrary to what he had said. And when you and I are in faith, we are able to rest and trust and know, I've already got the blueprint. I've already got it. I've already received the blueprints from God. They've been stamped and approved by the Word of God. I got God's approval on this. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It don't matter. I know that I have exactly what God promised and what I'm believing him for. I know exactly what I'm going to have. I know exactly how my life's going to turn out. I know exactly how certain things are going to turn out in my life. It's going to turn out good. It's going to turn out good. See, I got the blueprint. Where is it? It's in my heart. It's in my heart. I got these blueprints on the inside of me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at that. Hebrews 11 and in verse 1 talks about this blueprint. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again, we can say faith is the blueprint of what we're believing for, or the evidence. It's the evidence of what we're believing for, and that's what it says here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Those blueprints give substance to what you're hoping for. You can hope all day long, you know, for a building, but if you don't have any blueprints, there's no building. But then when you get those blueprints, you've got substance. You've got substance of the things that you're hoping for, evidence of things not seen. You got those blueprints, you got evidence that you're going to have a building. Here's the evidence right here. Here's the proof right here. They've been stamped, it's been approved. It's going to all come to pass. See, a lot of folks don't understand how faith works, and so that's why many people don't receive from the Lord, because without faith, you cannot receive from God. It is by faith that we receive from God. I didn't say it's by faith we get God to give to us. A lot of folks hear it that way. That's not what I said. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say, and faith gets God to give to us the things that we desire. No, it's not about getting God to give it to us. It's about us getting in position to receive it. It takes faith to receive what God, in a lot of cases, has already given to us. He's already given us the approval. Now, you know, when we were building this building, you know, we went downtown and we submitted the plans, and you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know if they're going to approve of it, and unfortunately didn't right away. They said, well, you know, we don't like the way this looks on the Gene Snyder Freeway, and there were some people that gave us a hard time about it, and they sent us back to the drawing board to work on it some more. So we went back and sat with the architects again and began to work on it, and went back downtown and stood before this panel of people and had to get these plans approved before we can go forward with construction. And we were rejected again. It was several times, back and forth, going down there, submitting these plans, making changes. And then you'd have, you know, some of the people say it's good, and other people, you know, said, no, they still want to see more things. They want other changes to be made to the plan. And so it was back and forth, and then finally, oh, it felt so good that day when they stamped those drawings and approved of it. Whoo, hallelujah. Now we knew we can get started. I'm so glad it's not like that with God. I'm so glad that when I go to His Word and know His will, I can come to Him with plans that I know already agree with Him. Because if I'm submitting a prayer request that is according to His Word, I know I got His approval. I know I got His approval. Soon as I submit Him, He's already, as I'm approaching Him with my prayer request, as I'm approaching Him with my blueprint, as I'm approaching Him with my plan, God's already standing there with the stamp. Come on, come on. I can't get to Him fast enough. And He slams it, man. He puts the stamp on the thing and says, approved. Approved. It's yours. God, you know, God is excited about our receiving from Him. It glorifies Him when we receive from Him by faith. That glorifies Him. I'm telling you, God wants you to have more than you have, more than you want to have, more than you have. He wants you to have more than you have, more than you want to have, more than you have. We can get complacent about it. God's not complacent. He paid a heavy price. He went to great lengths for us to be able to be blessed beyond measure, to be full and overflowing with every good thing in life, every good thing He created. He wants those that He's redeemed, those who are saved, those who believe Him, He wants them to have it. He wants you to have the good things in this life that He created. Oh, the technology, the best of the land. God wants you to have it. He wants you to have it more than you want to have it. There's a lot of things you'd like to have. God wants you to have it. God loved for you to have it. He'd love for you to have it. He's the one that went to the cross, and the Bible says became poor, that you might be made rich, that you might be fully supplied, abundantly supplied with every good thing. And we got to renew our mind and stop thinking God's fighting us on this. When we go to Him with a request for something, is it too big? Should I reduce the size of it a little bit? Is it too big of a prayer request? Who are you talking to? Who are you talking? You talking to the munchkins? Who are you? You're talking to God. Is anything too big for God? No. There's nothing you can ask that's too big, too overwhelming for Him. He's like, I can't believe you want all that. Huh? Can you believe it? Can you pick up the gold off the street over here, Charlie? Charlie the Angel, you know, they got to sweep the gold dust. It's got gold all over the streets, and you're uptight about whatever you're asking Him for. Well, I don't know. No, God's ear is not heavy that He can't hear. God's not going to be overwhelmed by anything that you ask. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians that He's ready to do exceedingly abundantly. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. So you're not. Moving God, all right? You're not causing Him to become overwhelmed. You're not overwhelming Him. He wants you to have more than enough. So we got to get that out of the way right away. You got to have that vision in your eyes, in your mind, in your heart, that God's standing there with the stamp ready to approve everything you ask for. In fact, as you're asking it, He's stamping it so that it's approved the moment you ask for it. Hallelujah. I said it's approved the moment you ask for it. So it's done. We got it. So if it's approved, then we got it. And that's what he means when he says in 1 John, holding your place there in Hebrews 11, 1 John 4, in verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now how could you ask something according to His will if you can't know His will before you ask? Now, quite obviously, you can know His will before you ask. Otherwise, you could never ask according to His will. And thus, you could never have confidence when you pray. But this is the confidence we have. See, in other words, we can know God's will about things before we even ask concerning those things. And it's a confidence that we have. How do we know His will? We got the Word, right? God's Word reveals His will to us. Too many Christians are still roaming around in life going,
You never know with God. If it be thy will.
Why don't you find out if it's will? Instead of doing the if it be thy, why don't you go ahead and read the Bible? Find out if it be thy will. And when you find out it be his will, ooh, hallelujah, you got confidence. You got confidence. Here's the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the approval. We got the approval. We have the petitions that we have asked of him. Whatever we've come to him asking him for, he's approved it already. Because we're coming to him in line with the word. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. And then, once it is submitted to him and given to the builder, the Holy Spirit, relax. It's all getting done. Once we submitted it, once we got the approval and everything for the building and we gave it to the general contractor, he took charge of all the different contractors. And he was in charge of the whole thing. I'd just come up once in a while and say, how's it going? Well, I couldn't get the air conditioner guy down here, and I warned him if he doesn't get down here, next thing you know, the air conditioner guy was down here. Because this was a pretty big general contractor. Nobody wanted to lose him. None of the subcontractors wanted to lose him. They wanted to continue to be able to work for him. So, man, when he said get down here, they got down here. So it was nice. I didn't have to worry about it. I'd just come up and check on things. He'd give me a tour every day. We'd walk through the place, see what's going on. And it was all coming to pass. Everything was getting built exactly the way I had asked for it. They had the blueprint. There was no confusion. It was all getting built. All I had to do now was rest. All I had to do was just relax and rest. That's what God did in the very beginning. He just sat back and he relaxed. And we see here in Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Notice that. We who have believed do enter that rest. So we could just say, he who believes rests. And enters that rest. What rest are you talking about? Well, let's go on here. As he said, as God said, so I swore in my wrath, they, the children of Israel in the wilderness, shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? In other words, before the foundation, before the concrete was ever poured, before gravity was ever poured, before the earth was ever actually, the foundations of it was actually ever created, what does it say? The works were finished. The works were finished. See, a lot of people don't realize Genesis chapter 1 is the blueprint. The works were finished. It was already done before it ever got started. When you're in faith, whatever you're in faith about, it's already done before it ever got started. It's already done. You're already seeing the end from the beginning. You're seeing the final product already. Not worried about what comes up, what shows up, what seems to go wrong. It doesn't matter. You keep your eyes on the blueprint. You keep your eyes on what you're believing God for. And you continue to stay in faith. And as you do, we'll get there. We'll see it all unfold before us. It'll all come to pass. So here it says the works were finished, not after the foundation was laid and everything was built, from the foundation, from the day they were laying the foundation. This was already finished in the mind and heart of God. And that's where most people are working overtime. It's in their mind and it's in their heart. It's not in the factory. It's not at this job or that job or doing this thing or that job or this thing or that thing. People are overworking in here and in here. In their minds and in their hearts. Working, worrying, striving, wondering, confused, unsure. lot of work going on the inside. No rest. But when you get into faith about things in your life, in those areas that you're in faith, you're no longer working on the inside about it. You've stopped worrying. You've stopped being concerned. You've stopped trying to figure it all out. You've stopped with all that laboring that goes on the inside. I'm telling you, people work harder on the inside many times more than they do on the outside. And it is their downfall. Even medical science will tell you that working on the inside, stress, it's called stress, worry, has physical consequences. It causes problems in people's lives. All the inner turmoil and struggling is what causes strife to manifest in people's lives, destroying their relationships. Before there's all this outward strife being verbalized, there's inward fear being stirred up, internalized. There's fear that is internalized on the inside before things begin to manifest on the outside. And a lot of times folks are trying to fix things on the outside, and it really isn't your problem.
Money's my problem.
No.
Charlie's my problem. No. Agnes, no.
None of these things. It's not Agnes. It's not Charlie. It's not any of these things. It's inside. What's happening on the inside? What's happening on the inside? Because if you have peace on the inside, it's going to affect the outside in a positive way. But if you got strife and stress and anxiety and fear and worry on the inside, that's going to affect the outside in a negative way. It's going to tear things down in your life. So instead of trying to fix the outward problem, we need to come back to what's going on in us. Number one, am I resting? No. No, I'm not. You're not in faith. Now, that's dangerous. Because if you're not in faith, then you're not working with God on this situation. You don't have God working in your situation. That's dangerous. I need God in my life. I don't know about you. Do you need God? How many people need life? I need God in my life. I need him in every area of my life. I want him ordering my steps. I want him guiding me home this afternoon. I don't want to trust me and my beautiful reflexes. You know, my ability to be able to react to things quickly enough. You know, my smarts, or trust other people driving around me 65 miles an hour while they're texting. I'm not going to put my life in the hands of humans, not even myself. I need him. How do I get him? How do I get him working in my life? By getting in faith. How do I know if I'm in faith? I'm resting. I'm resting. I've submitted. How do you rest? I've submitted my blueprints to him. I've submitted my petition to him. It's according to his word, so it's stamped. It's approved, so I know I got it. I got it. I know it's going to be all right. I know we're going to get through this thing. I know we're going to get over to the other side. Right? That's what Jesus lived like this. That's how he lived like this. So he says to his disciples, he says, get in the boat. Let's go over to the other side. Yeah. Now, then he went. Then what did he do? He went to sleep in the boat. He went to sleep in the boat. But he said to them, let us go over to the other side. You know, the other side of the lake. Let's go over to the other side. And then he went to sleep. And then this big storm comes down, like a hurricane comes down on the lake. And the boat is being tossed and it starts filling with water. And these fishermen who are out there all the time, I mean, they're terrified. And they come running in and wake the Lord up and say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? I mean, this is a bad storm. We're going under. This boat is taking water. And they woke the Lord up, and he got up, And he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was a great calm. Then he turned to his disciples and says, guys, what took you so long to wake me up? We almost died. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. What did he say? He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith? That's what he said. Where is your faith? Did it go overboard on the last wave? Where did it go, guys? Where's your faith? They had faith. Where'd it go? Storm got big enough, and they lost their faith. And they begin to focus in on the storm and the possibility of not getting over to the other side. But Jesus already said, let us go over to the other side. Didn't he say that? He said, let us go over to the other side. He did. You know, that's what I love about it too. A lot of time we get into these long prayers, you know. Oh, God, we thank you right now for the air traffic controller. And, Lord, we thank you for the plane right now that they got the right fuel in the plane. And we thank you, Lord, that the tire pressure is good on the aircraft as we go down the runway, Father. And we thank you for the pilot. And we thank you, Lord, for the air traffic controllers, Father God, and everybody else. And all the maintenance people, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you keep the terrorists away from the plane. Yes, you know, just keep going. Father, you know? And we're just Going. We get on the plane, shall we? I'm sitting in the right seat, Father. I think I trust you. I mean, if we do go down, I think this section will be okay. We thank you, Father God. Right? People just pray and pray and pray. You know, a lot of that's just fear. It's not faith. If I say enough things, I might feel at peace. It isn't our saying a lot of things that should give us peace. It should be the fact that I just have to say a couple words and he hears me. Yes. And if I know that he hears me, I know I have. Yes. I know I have. Let us go over to the other side. He heard me. Let us go over to the other side. He heard me. God backs up. He said, I have what I say. I say, let's go over to the other side. So where are we going? We're going to the other side. So what can you do? Go to sleep in the boat. Jesus was not trusting in the skillfulness of Peter and his ability to run this ship. No, he was trusting that the Father had given him what he declared. He said it. He saw it. He already saw them on the other side. And then he went to sleep. We're going to the other side. How could you say it? The boat's filling up. What happens if they didn't wake him up? I don't know. That is not written. But I know this, they were going to be on the other side, one way or the other. I mean, they might have had the first submarine. I don't know. But they were not going under. They weren't going to drown. I'm not going under. I'm going over. What are you doing? Huh? Are you sure? Hallelujah. I'm going over into victory. I'm going to live in a continual state of victory. Huh? Because that's what faith does. Faith lives in a continual state of victory. You might as well celebrate it now. You might as well celebrate it now. Somebody say, blessed is me who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Plan your party. Plan your parade. Because verse 9, notice what verse 9 says. Hebrews 4, 9. It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Woo, hallelujah. In other words, what you see in chapter 1 and then chapter 2 where it says, and he rested from all his works, he says you can enter into that same rest also. Why? Because it's the rest of faith. It's the rest of faith. It's the rest of faith. I'm going to read it again, verse 10. For he who has entered his rest. How do you enter his rest? What is his rest? It's a faith rest. He just told you in verse 3, he who believes rests. So that's the rest. God spoke it. He believed it. He rested. God spoke it. He saw it by faith. Believed it. He rested. You need to speak it, see it, believe it, and rest. In every area of your life, we need to be believing God, right? We need to be believing God in every area of our life, so we need to be seeing and believing the kind of life God has promised us. I said we need to be speaking and seeing and believing the kind of life God has promised us, and then rest. Rest in it. Rest in it. He says in verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That word be diligent there in the Greek can also be translated labor. It's used in Timothy for study. So we could say it this way. Let us therefore be diligent to labor at studying to enter his rest. Let us therefore be diligent to labor at studying to enter that rest. We labor in the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We study God. And as a result of that, what? We learn faith. And we rest. But you got to be diligent. Be diligent. Be aggressive. Don't be slack when it comes to laboring at studying God. Because if you labor at studying God, you'll find yourself not laboring internally. Like so many people are. Some people are laboring internally. Working on the inside. I like to say burning the candle at both ends of the stick, man. They are burning it on the inside and burning it on the outside. Shortening the candlestick. We don't want to burn it on the inside and on the outside, we want to be resting on the inside. Resting on the inside and just full of faith. Just like oil in a lamp. If you pour oil in a lamp and then light the wick, that wick never is consumed. It just keeps drawing on the oil that's in the lamp. And the wick does not get consumed. If the oil is not in the lamp, then the wick just burns up. But if the oil is there, it draws the oil up through the wick into where the fire is. So if you're burning it on the outside, but you got oil on the inside, you'll never burn out. Your light just gets brighter. Come on, somebody. The harder you work, the brighter your light gets. You're not afraid of hard work. You're not afraid of hitting it hard. You're not afraid of being aggressive and working hard on the outside because you got oil on the inside. That's feeding the fire. Praise God. It's renewing your strength. You got something on the inside of you, and it's renewing your strength where you're not wearing yourself down by all your hard work. But if you got nothing on the inside but worry, and you got work on the outside, you're burning it at both ends. The end's not good. So it's time to repent of that. Say, that's missing it right there. God, why are you letting this happen? There's no oil in your lamp. Yeah, but why are you letting it happen? There's no oil in your lamp. Be diligent to labor at study in the Word. And you spend a little time with me, I'll get the oil in there. We'll cause the spirit of faith to rise up inside you. And when that faith rises up on the inside of you, it'll renew your strength. It'll refresh your soul. So, man, you can just go and work. Glory be to God. And just labor and not be afraid of laboring. You won't be walking around going, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. I need some time off. You know, we wouldn't be so desperate for that if we kept our hearts full of faith. Now, I'm all for vacations. I think people should enjoy the creation. I don't think you should always be in the factory. I think you should know how to get out and enjoy life, but you shouldn't be desperate. You should be living a continual vacation. You've got a continual parade that you're marching in. If you're in faith about something, you should be in a parade right now. Now you're riding the donkey. And you're just coming into the city. Come on, somebody. You're just coming into the city and you're resting. If you're in faith about stuff, man, you're in charge. You're like the king. You have dominion. You've got dominion and rule, and you're in control over your circumstances, because when you're in faith, you've given God control, which puts you in control. And now you can rule and reign in life like you were created to do. So life is just like, you know, we're going through life, man. It's a parade. Every day's a celebration. We get up and we're excited to celebrate. Every day's a party. And every day is a faith day for folks that are in faith. If we're in believing, every day's a faith day. And faith is a celebration of victory, victory, victory. So before Jesus even gets to the cross, he's already celebrating his victory. He's already celebrating it. Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at this. Colossians 2, talking about Jesus and what he accomplished. It says in verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In other words, in his resurrection. When he rose from the dead, he made a public spectacle of all these principalities and powers, these rulers of the darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He made a public spectacle at them, and there was some kind of triumphant parade, because in the Amplified Bible, it brings that. I don't have those translations with me right now, but you look that up like in the Amplified Bible and some other translations, and it talks about how he had a victory parade, triumphing over the principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them. Now, this, of course, happened after Jesus rose from the dead in the spirit realm. When he rose from the dead, he literally made a public spectacle out of demons, trampled on them. And yet Jesus is celebrating that and having a pre-victory parade, a pre-parade parade. Because there's going to be another parade when he actually rises from the dead. There's going to be another parade, and he's going to make a spectacle of all these demons. But he's going to go and have a parade before the parade. He's going to have a parade by faith concerning the parade that he's going to be having when he's dragging the devil around the streets of hell, making a spectacle out of him. Well, you and I need to have ourselves that same attitude, that we have the victory. I mean, we know that when we die, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. Well, why not enjoy it now? How many people believe you're going to heaven? Sure. Are you convinced? Got confidence? Excited? Should be excited. Hallelujah. Well, why wait to celebrate? Start living on the earth like you're already there. Like it's already done. And you think about those demons, what they must have been thinking. They're looking, they say, Jesus coming into the city celebrating. And they're thinking, what is he so excited about? You know, I had to make the demons nervous. It makes the devils nervous when after they're throwing stuff at you, you're just continuing to be excited. You don't go into depression. You don't get all worried. You still got a smile on your face. Still got victory in your step. You're still having a parade. Come on. How many people are going to celebrate today? Pastor, I can't celebrate. You should see what's going on in my life. How can you expect me to celebrate with everything that's going on in my life? Are you in faith about what's going on in your life? Well, we know you're not if you're like that. But we need to get in faith, don't we? And that could just be an adjustment. Come over and consider God. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Find out what His will is for your life concerning that situation. And then believe Him for it and speak it and see it. And that's what you keep seeing from this day forward. That's what you see. That's what you see. No matter what's going on. Man fell, he rebelled against God, all these terrible things. Hey, he sold out to Satan, Satan took dominion over the earth. God had it all worked out. His faith had provided everything before the foundation was ever laid. In fact, the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, talking about how the blood has washed our sins away. Verse 20, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is to take away the sins of the world, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, it was all in the blueprint. It was all in the blueprint. The provision was already in the blueprint. But was manifest in these last times for you. Let me read this from the GNT translation. He had been chosen by God before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last days for your sake. So he was already chosen to do this job before the creation of the world. The HCSB translation. It says, he was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the times for you. Faith carries within it everything needed to bring to pass what you're believing for. So we can celebrate and enjoy from the inside while working on the outside. And by the way, let me just turn this scripture here, John chapter 5. John chapter 5 concerning God working. Jesus made this statement. Remember, the religious people of his day were all upset about breaking the Sabbath. They were always on him about breaking the Sabbath, healing people and delivering people on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of rest. But notice what Jesus said concerning that. John 5, verse 16, it says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So here we saw God's resting. He ended all his work. He ended all his work. He tells us to enter that same rest. And yet Jesus says, my Father's been working and I've been working until now. What's he saying? He said, we're still working on the outside. But we're in faith on the inside. We're in faith concerning our creation. Doesn't matter if it goes into a state of without form and void. It doesn't matter if it goes into a state of complete rebellion and darkness. And evil seems to be covering the earth. We're in faith about our creation. God's resting about our creation. He's resting concerning your life. He sees a life that has dominion, absolute rule and authority, and is walking in victory. Now enter his rest. Enter the rest. Study and labor to enter into that rest. Come on. Enter into that same rest. God's resting about your life. You might as well go ahead and get in agreement with him and rest about your life too. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I got dominion, absolute rule and authority. Therefore, I will rule and reign in life. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No devil can stop me. Hallelujah. Come on.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.